Looking around the room tonight, I can say with pretty good solid, I guess, concrete truth that none of us were around during the women's suffrage movement. It led to that 19th Amendment to the United States, passed in 1920, or before that, the abolitionist movement to end the practice of slavery in our country. But looking around the room tonight, I bet all of us are old enough to remember some of those other movements of our time, right? The civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the apartheid movement, the farm workers movement, and all the heroes and those who literally gave their lives to those movements in the 1950s and the 1960s. Our younger generation will remember Occupy Wall Street, and criminal justice reform, Me Too, Black Lives Matter, and many other movements that have taken up issues in our time. Movements under the banner of global warming, immigration, gun control, equal access to health care, protection of the LGBTQ community, family and friends, calls to bring an end to the death penalty, gun control, bullying, and violence in our schools. We have no shortage of movements, do we? And there's never been a time in our history without them, because we have always had to address complex and critical issues of our time. And nor is there ever a shortage of passion among people to address and to lead those movements. Because every issue, every passion that surrounds these movements surface in our given life and find their momentum because of one thing. Somebody else is suffering. Suffering gives catalysts to every one of those social justice movements. Always have and always will. History will prove which one of them makes strides in humanity's treatment of one another and which ones barely make a ripple. But there is a side of suffering from which every human being benefits, and to which each and every one of us is called to participate in some way, the suffering servant. It is a great tradition of our faith, the image of that suffering servant. It has surfaced time and time again throughout the old time of the Old Testament, in great prophets of old and in prophets of our time who have set their face like flint for the belief that God is calling us to a higher standard. We see it in the saints of old who are given recognition by the church, and in the saints who live quiet and humble lives, who give so generously for the necessities of the body, for the poor and the suffering. There are servants who live in the center of great movements whose names will be remembered in perpetuity, and there are servants who live and die in the very quiet of their own homes and neighborhoods. But all of them have followed the way of Christ, the suffering servant, knowingly or unknowingly denying themselves and taking up their cross every day. This weekend, we rightfully remember all those who have lost their lives in that tragic day 20 years ago in our country, and the thousands and thousands of others, soldiers who sacrificed so much, other innocent men and women and children who lost their lives in the 20 years of war to follow. Our faith compels us to remember them. But our faith also compels us to unite with them in that suffering, to do the work that we yet need to do for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the sake of those who continue to suffer needlessly, for the sake of those who have yet to take their first breath of air or their last breath of life. In a moment, and I promise it will be in just a moment, we will stand and say those words again, "I believe." And at the urging of St. James and in the intercession of St. James, may we always give life to that faith by our works on behalf of those who continue to suffer in the world, especially if that means that we too might suffer on their behalf.